searching for Sita, he found Jatayu almost dead, and was informed that Sita had been carried off by Ravana. When Jatayu died, Lord Ramchandra did the duty of a son by performing the funeral ceremony, and then he made friends with the monkeys to deliver Sita Devi. Valmiki Muni is being discussed here by Srila Shukadeva Goswami. You see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Amalam Puranam, Shukadeva Goswami is extracting the sweetest essence from all of the Vedic literatures. It is described that the Srimad Bhagavatam is like the cream which is coming from the sweet milk of the Vedas. And therefore, in the narration of the life of Lord Ram, he is summarizing and taking the most important instructions in the most important parts of Ramayana. So here he is describing the glory of the Lord's devotee, Jatayu. Jatayu was living in the form of a very large vulture, a black bird. And Jatayu was a dear friend of Lord Ramchandra's father, Dasarath, and a pure devotee of the Lord. The glories of Jatayu are most munificent and worthy of being heard and studied by all aspiring devotees. When Sita was being carried away by Ravan, there was no one who had seen this ghastly act. The first person to be a witness of this great crime was Jatayu, who was at his resting place in the forest of Dandakaranya. When he saw Sita being carried away by the ten-headed Ravana through the sky, he understood and he knew that Ravana was the most formidable, the most wicked, cruel, the most vicious of all demons. And Jatayu himself was fully cognizant that he was an old man who was practically invalid, and therefore he could not fight as he could in years previous. It would have been very easy for Jatayu to just allow Ravana to fly overhead and remain silent and think, justify within his heart, I'm too old, there's no one to help me, there's nothing that I can do. After all, there was no one else around to criticize him. If he would have just allowed Ravana to carry on with his activities, no one would have ever known that he even saw the scene. Certainly, Jatayu was quite aware that he had very little chance of defeating this great asura in battle. But he had the heart of a pure devotee. And therefore his meditation was that whether I conquer or I am conquered is not what is important, but that every last drop of energy in my life is dedicated in the service of Lord Sri Ram. That is my only concern. Therefore, Jatayu, with everything he had left within his body, he stood forward and he challenged Ravana to battle. He had no one to help him. And it was a glorious battle. In this fight, Jatayu, he, with his mighty wings, he knocked the crown of Ravana from his head. He cast Ravana down to the ground. Ravana saw that this Jatayu was certainly his match. So he had to put Sita off to the side. And with all of his arms, he began to fight. Jatayu took his mighty claws and began to scratch the body of Ravana. In fact, Ravana was practically defeated. Jatayu was fighting with such enthusiasm and with such strength and such skill that Ravana was being slaughtered. But as the fight went on, longer and longer and longer, Ravana, who was still young, maintained his strength, but Jatayu was becoming more and more and more fatigued. He was becoming more and more tired. Although he was certainly victorious in skill, due to his old age, he was exhausted. Taking advantage of the situation, Ravana, giving him no time to rest, took his sword and slashed the wings from Jatayu's body and left him laying there in a bloody and hopeless condition. And then he picked up Mother Sita and proceeded again to his destination towards Sri Lanka. Meanwhile, Jatayu was laying there in a suffering state, bleeding profusely. His life air barely maintaining his physical body. Shortly after that, Lord Sri Ram appeared with Lakshman. At first, they considered that this bloody form of this vulture must have certainly devoured Sita. So they were ready to kill him. But when Jatayu began to praise the glories of Ram, they understood who he was, the dear friend of their father. And Jatayu explained exactly what had taken place. And Ram and Lakshman, with tears in their eyes, they could understand that this old, old vulture willingly was willing to give his life to fight this demon for their sake. Ram was weeping. The devotion of this great soul was that he willingly allowed himself to die in the loving service of the Lord. And therefore, after Jatayu explained the direction that Ravana was flying, he gave up his life breath with the name of Ram on his lips and the vision of the mighty form of Sri Ram in his eyes. And then Lord Ram and Lakshman personally performed the funeral ceremony for Jatayu and sent him back to the eternal world of Vaikuntha. We have been discussing how Krishna protects his devotee. Kaunteya pratijani hiname bhakta pranashyati. Krishna says to Arjuna, you declare it boldly that for my devotee I am always the protector, he never perishes. Who is a more glorious devotee than Jatayu? Sometimes people are bewildered. If Krishna always protects his devotee, how is it possible that the demons can overcome the Vaishnavas? Sometimes the example of Lord Jesus Christ is given, that after all, the demonic forces, God sanctioned them, gave them the power to crucify Lord Jesus, torture him, and cause him to leave his body. But then we say, yes, but that's Christianity. But where is the evidence within the Vedic scriptures of the demons overcoming the devotees? Prahlad was overcome temporarily, but ultimately Lord Nrsingadev killed Hiranyakashipu and put Prahlad on the throne. The Pandavas were also overcome temporarily, but ultimately the Lord, Sri Krishna, arranged the battle of Kurukshetra in such a way that Duryodhana and all of his forces were annihilated, and Yudhisthira and his brothers were put on the throne in glory. Haridas Thakur was also beaten, and he also left his body for some time in a state of samadhi. But ultimately he came back to his consciousness and was reinstated again as the most glorious Namacharya, or preacher of the holy name. But where do we find in the Vedic scriptures of a devotee being ultimately physically killed by the demons? In the story of Jatayu, we find exactly this. Jatayu's glory was not whether or not he can defeat Ravana. No one minimizes him because he was not able to kill Ravana. He is more glorious the fact that he was willing to be killed by Ravana. The fact that this demon was more powerful than him and he was willing and ready to give his life in the service of the Lord is the true essence of his glory. Physically, Ravana killed him. He put a final termination or end to his life. Ramchandra is the supreme controller of all controllers. He could have given the strength of Jatayu to defeat Ravana. Could he not? Is that beyond his power? He could do anything, anytime, anywhere, to anyone. But there are various ways that the Lord glorifies his various devotees. And each one is to bring out a different quality to inspire us. Bhima was empowered. Hanuman, his brother, was empowered to defeat all the asuras, to be unconquerable. And these are glorious pastimes which show how, whoever one is, one can be divinely empowered to be victorious despite all odds, irregardless of all opposition, if one simply surrenders to the lotus feet of Sri Hari.
But in the example of the great Jatayu, there was another lesson to be learned. That a devotee cares nothing for neither life nor death. You see, he is only concerned with the service of the Lord. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays, "My Lord, if you want, you can protect me. If you want, you can kill me. You have every right to deal with me in any way you please." Now, if in every situation the Lord protects the body of a devotee, where would this sentiment that if you like, you can have me killed, that I am willing to give my life for you? If they're not examples of devotees who do give their lives for Krishna, it would minimize the quality of our own surrender. But Jatayu was specially delegated by Lord Sri Ramchandra to show the world how a devotee is willing to die for him, is willing to give up his life for him. Without considering one's own personal comforts. Just like our beloved Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, at the age of 70 years old, he began this great war against the entire material energy, Maya Devi, and all of her demoniac forces. Because when you preach Krishna consciousness, you are declaring war against the entire material nature. And he met great opposition, although he should have retired long, long before. He was not afraid. Two heart attacks on this old cargo ship that carried him across the Atlantic Ocean. And in his diary, he was writing that any moment death can come. He could have been sitting in Vrindavan. He could have probably lived to over 100 years old, like most of his godbrothers. Most of Prabhupada's godbrothers, they stayed in a holy place, lived a very simple, peaceful life, and lived to their late 90s. He was in the process, but he understood that his Guru Maharaj wanted him to declare war against Maya. And he began this war at 70 years old. I remember every couple years at our temples, there was news that Prabhupada had a heart attack. Prabhupada was in critical condition. We were all having 24-hour kirtan. This would happen every couple years for the entire decade that Prabhupada was preaching. And when he was here in Bombay, in a condition, according to the medical doctors, he was on his deathbed. He couldn't walk. He couldn't eat. But when there was a great preaching opportunity to give opposition to the illusory energy, without consideration of his own life, he said, "Take me to London." And absolutely everybody around was thinking, "This is absolutely crazy. He will not live through this." But he went to London to preach, to encourage his disciples. He had to be carried. Can you understand how much painful physically that must have been in that condition where he couldn't even move? To take these jet airplanes across continents is horribly uncomfortable for a young person in full health. What to speak of someone in that condition? They had to carry him to the bathroom, and the disciples would be crying, thinking, my God, how much pain he must be enduring just to move this direction. So he was not considering life or death. He was only considering the service to render. Similarly, Jatayu, he had every excuse not to fight this war. He was not fit. He was too old. Death was inevitable for him to challenge Ravana. He was single-handedly facing the asura that was practically conquering the entire universe. Therefore, yes, Ram could have given him the strength to kill Ravana, but that was not the plan of the Lord. The plan of the Lord is that he wanted Ravana to take Sita to Sri Lanka. For so many reasons we'll never understand. One is, if he did not, the great devotee Hanuman would have never been able to do the wonderful service that he rendered. Sita would not be able to be glorified by exhibiting her quality of supreme chastity. Ram would not have performed the wonderful lila of personally killing Ravana and all of the Rakshasa army. And most of all, Jatayu would not have been given the most glorious opportunity to lay down his life and show all the world for all the time to come that a devotee is willing and ready to die in the service of his Lord. But what was his death? We all have to die someday. When Srila Prabhupada was told by the devotees here in Bombay, you cannot go to London, Prabhupada, you will die. Prabhupada said, better to die in the battlefield with the name of Krishna on my lips than to be laying here like an old man. Huh? Jatayu was in that mood. Better to die on the battlefield with the name of Ram on my lips than to just lay here and die like an old man. And therefore, Lord Ramchandra wept seeing the love and the sacrifice and the courage of his devotee. And Lord Ramchandra personally performed the funeral ceremony and directly sent Jatayu back to Vaikuntha to live an eternal life full of bliss and knowledge in the loving service of the Lord. So when Krishna says that my devotee will never perish, this is what he means. He is not saying that his body will not be overcome. He is not saying that the demons may not even kill him. He is saying that his faith, his devotion, will never be disturbed under any condition. And in the end, he will go back home, back to Godhead. The protection Krishna is speaking of is the protection of the soul. Jatayu was sent back to Vaikuntha. That is how Lord Ram protected him. Sometimes the demons are more powerful than the devotees in a physical way. At the time of Hiranyakashipu, they were destroying the sacrifices of all the Brahmins and killing them and drinking their blood. And these are the Brahmins of Satya Yuga. They were obviously great devotees of the Lord. They were being massacred and killed by Hiranyakashipu. But if they were thinking of Narayan at the time of death, they all went back to Vaikuntha. Jatayu was nothing less than such a pure devotee that the Lord himself wept upon his disappearance. The Lord himself personally, with his own hands, performed this funeral ceremony. How dear he was to the Lord. And yet, it is true, he was killed by the demons. He was overcome by the demons. But was he conquered? No. If Ravana could have created fear in his heart, if Ravana could have disturbed his faith, then he would have been conquered. But his devotion and his enthusiasm for the service of the Lord, for the mission of the Lord, could not be disturbed even by the mighty sword and the 10 arms of Ravana. Therefore, he was not conquered. His faith, his devotion, and his enthusiasm to serve could not be conquered, even in the face of death, by the greatest Rakshasa of the universe. Therefore, Jatayu was victorious. He was victorious because he did not give up the name and the service of the Lord. He was victorious because he attained the supreme destination of life, Vaikuntha. The supreme victory. Yes, Ram protected him. There is no doubt. So, only a crazy man will think, well, Jatayu must not have been such a good devotee because he was overcome and killed by a demon. It is the spirit in which he never gave up his devotion to the end of his life that makes him glorious. So we should not be bewildered by external circumstances. A devotee is always seeking and searching to see the internal quality of bhakti. And if a devotee is willing and ready to accept any sort of inconvenience to the point of death in the service of the Lord, what more wonderful, pure, and virtuous quality can there be? Just as Jatayu, he did not have to attack Ravana. No one would have blamed him. No one would have even seen that he did not. Sita is the eternal property of Ram. But factually, every living entity, every jivatma is the eternal property of Ram. Every living entity, every jivatma is the expansion of the pleasure potency of Sri Sita Devi, meant exclusively for Ram's enjoyment. That is all of our position. But the fact is, we are all being carried away by the Ravana of materialistic propaganda. And there are many Babaji's who are certainly pure devotees, and they think, yes, what to do? This material nature is so powerful, and there's not much I can do about it, so let me just chant Hare Krishna. Jatayu was not a Babaji, he was a preacher. Jatayu's mood was that Sita is meant for Ram's pleasure, and if this demon's trying to carry her away, I must fight. This is the mood of the great preachers of the Lord. They see that every jivatma is the property of Ram. They are meant for Ram's enjoyment. They are poor, innocent souls. They are being carried away by the Ravana of Maya. And I can sit here and chant Hare Krishna and think there's nothing I can do. But I am willing to stand up and fight against all opposition and give my life, if that is what is required. Not for any glory of my own, but because that is the greatest service that I can offer for the pleasure of the Lord. That is the greatest act of compassion I can show to those who are being carried away on the chariot of Maya. Those who are being carried away by the demoniac influence of the Ravanas of this world. You see, whether one is guilty or not guilty in the eyes of man, whether one is physically protected or whether one is physically killed at the hands of the demons, this is not what we consider. We consider only one thing: the spirit of devotion, the spirit of sacrifice, the spirit of love, the willingness to give one's life in the service of the Lord. That is our consideration. Therefore, of all the many, many chapters of the Ramayana, Shukadeva Goswami has especially selected the story of Jatayu as one of the most important highlights in regard to the subject matter of pure devotional service. Because the Srimad Bhagavatam, it already explains in the second verse that it kicks out all other principles except pure devotional service. And it's taking various stories and various histories from various Vedic literatures only. But it's only taking the essence, only taking those things which highlight pure devotional service alone. So of all the stories in the Ramayana, there's only 1.5 chapters of the stories of Ram in Bhagavatam. But Shukadeva Goswami is here remembering the pure devotional qualities of Jatayu. So let us take example from this great Vaishnav devotee of the Lord. And let us truly strive to follow in his footsteps by willing to live or die in the mission of our spiritual master, Krishna. Is there any questions? Yes. You only have control over one moment, and that is now. When we speak of our whole lifetime, that means continuously surrendering now. We cannot think tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. The present moment is all that exists in reality. So therefore, we must, at this particular time, be asking the question, my dear Lord, how can I best serve you now? And we simply keep that question in our hearts at every present moment. That is the only way to ensure that we will never forget Krishna. Therefore, we must allow our lives to be guided by the great souls. They are teaching us how to be constantly engaged in devotional service. The answer to your question is,
to always keep yourself under the shelter and the direction of those who will keep you near to Krishna, and never give up their lotus feet. If you are always in the shelter of such association, you will always be engaged in the loving service of the Lord. We do not have the power to protect ourselves from Maya, but it is the association of the Vaishnavas and the order of the spiritual master that keeps us under the divine protection of the internal energy of the Lord. So therefore we should pray to Krishna. How can I best serve you now and please Krishna by your causeless mercy? Let me never give up the lotus feet of my Gurudev and the Vaishnavas. Let me never let go of their lotus feet in the form of their will, their instructions. If you're on a boat crossing the ocean and you ask, how can I ensure that I'll get to the other side of the ocean? The first thing is, do not jump off the boat. Just stay on the boat. Whether there's storms, whether there's seasickness, whatever difficulties arise, because there will be. There may be turbulent waters. Stay on the boat. Do not let go of the boat of the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnava. And pray to the Lord that I'm very weak. Please never let me let go. Any other questions? Hare Krishna.